They let the rabbits run, companions, knowing they had hounds. They did not know, perhaps, that these rabbits had teeth. The others laughed.
Indeed, my lord, ventured Marshal Hagen, you have the name of a fox, not a rabbit.
Indeed, Marshal, I shall have a name worse than that before we are done.
Kiri smiled, but let's take heart. Though they oppose our 70 or so, with their 4 or 5 cohorts, they may not suspect my own marching behind.
2 against 4 sounds better. Despite the slow progress of our escort, I judge those heavy horses will do their work well when it comes to battle.
I hope so. High Marshal Seklus let out a long sigh. If you will excuse me, my lord, I would like to pray in the Grange.
And I will join my prayers to yours, Marshal, if they are sent as I think.
For a moment everyone was silent, thinking of the captive, by whom they were free and able to travel. This would be her second night of torment. She woke cold and aching, in a murky, featureless light that made her doubt her senses. For some time, she was not sure whether she was alive or dead. Whatever she had expected was not this dim fog and cold. Fragments from a dream wandered through her mind. Someone's hands, warm and kind, easing her cramped muscles. A gruff voice, gentled by time, soothing her fear. But this vanished. She felt space around her, as if she were outside in an open place, but she could not see anything but fog. She blinked several times. Then she tried to move. Strained muscles and joints protested. She caught her breath, then moved again. Something soft and warm cushioned her tender head. She managed to get a hand up and felt stubbly hairs growing back in, the shape of a hood covering them. Tender lumps and cuts that made her wince. Her fingers explored, found a bundle supporting her head, the cloak that covered her nakedness. When she passed her hand before her face, she could see it. At least, she was not blind. She moved her legs again. Stiffness, whether from lying on cold ground or the torture, she could not tell, but she could straighten them, and when she ran her hands where the burning stones had been, no wounds remained. Her hands moved without pain, as if the bones had never been broken. She pushed herself up, running a swollen tongue over dry lips. Distant sounds, wagon wheels, a bawling cow. Thin snow patched the frozen ground. She found the bundle that had been under her head. It was clothing, her own, torn off her by the guards. Someone had mended it crudely, sewing wooden buttons in place of the horn ones, patching the torn pieces with bits of strange cloth. Underneath it was a small packet of bread and meat, and a flask. Pox pulled the stopper free and tasted. Water, and pure. She drank it down, wincing as the cold liquid hit her raw throat. Then she threw back the cloak and struggled into the clothes, shivering, not bothering to look at herself and notice what had and hadn't healed. Wrapped once more in the cloak, she tried to think. Alive, surely. She could not imagine any afterlife where she would find old clothes mended, some bruises still dark, and bad wounds gone entirely. Alive and free, outside the city by the sounds, and with someone's goodwill by the clothes and food. She chewed a bit of meat slowly, her jaws sore. Alive, free, clothed, fed. What more could she want? She thought of several things. Warm would be nice, knowing what had happened, knowing where she was and what day it was, and where the king was, all that. She staggered to her feet. Her unknown benefactor had not provided shoes or boots.